Thanks for tuning in to Next Level Church Podcast. For more information, please visit our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
One of the greatest inventions in the history of mankind is the comfy chair. Anyone have a comfy chair at home that you just like to sit in? For me, it doesn't matter if I'm tired or not. When I get home and I sit in my comfy chair and I start watching television, I just fall asleep. Like, it's so comfortable. I love the quote by Academy Award winner Robert De Niro when he says, "If it's the right chair, it doesn't take too long to get comfortable in it." Amen. That's a good quote. And isn't that the goal of our lives? Like, isn't the goal of our lives to get comfortable? Maybe you've never said to yourself that that's the goal of your life, but you need to know that your brain is constantly pushing you to get comfortable. That literally your brain is wired to resist discomfort and to push towards things that are comfortable. So anything in our life that causes us stress, anything that causes us anxiety, we literally are trying to avoid it, and we're trying to run towards things that are comfortable. This is also called the comfort zone. Brené Brown is a researcher, and she says that the comfort zone is where our uncertainty, scarcity, and vulnerability are minimized, where we believe we'll have access to enough love, food, talent, time, and admiration, and where we feel some sort of control. So that's the comfort zone, and you need to know, whether you've heard of this or not, that your brain is constantly trying to get you to the comfort zone, that whenever you feel discomfort, whenever you feel something that's not pleasurable, anytime you feel pain, your body is saying, get to the comfort zone, get to a place where you have some control to resist pain. But nothing good comes out of the comfort zone. Like, progress doesn't happen in the comfort zone. In fact, when we get into the comfort zone, we actually, our brains get bored. And so when we're in the comfort zone, because there's no resistance, because there's no pain, our bodies actually look to be stimulated. And the way that it looks to be stimulated is with some type of excitement. And oftentimes that excitement is unhealthy for us. Look at what psychologists say. Psychologists Phil Stutz and Barry Michaels say that merely escaping pain isn't enough for us. We insist that the pain be replaced with pleasure. We do this with an endless array of addictive activities. Examples include internet surfing, drugs and alcohol, pornography, the aptly named comfort food, even gambling and shopping are pleasures of a sort. All these behaviors are widespread. Our entire culture is looking for a comfort zone. Did you catch that? Our entire culture. That means every single one of us in the room, all of us are looking for a comfort zone. And the problem with the comfort zone is that we're not satisfied with just being comfortable. We go to look to get some things that are exciting. And those things that are exciting often become trials in our lives. That the reason we do things that we know are bad for us, the reason we do things like eat comfort food and resist pain like with exercise, or the reason we get addicted to pornography or gambling or shopping, or the reason that we just spend hours surfing on our cell phones is because we're bored in the comfort zone. Well, what happens when you get in the comfort zone? Well, I want to show you a graphic. It'll come up on your screens. And I would encourage you to take a picture of this graphic because this is really important for us, and it's how we're all wired. That in the comfort zone, you will see that is where we feel safe, comfortable, and in control. We love the comfort zone. We want to get to the comfort zone. We enjoy the comfort zone. The problem, though, is that no growth happens. Nothing good happens in the comfort zone. Now, you need some time to rest every once in a while. You need a good comfy chair in your life. But the problem is when you get too comfortable, you never want to get out of the comfy chair. In fact, I'm not sure I can get out of this chair today. Like, it's so comfortable. The reason that we stay in the comfort zone, even though we know it's not good for us, is because on the outside of the comfort zone is what is known as the fear zone. The fear zone is where we find excuses. It's where we say things like, I don't have time to exercise. I don't have time to read a book. I don't have time to volunteer at church. I don't have time to do good things that we know we should do, we make excuses for it. The fear zone is also where we are intimidated by outside ideas. So when someone comes and says, hey, you should try this, we think, oh no, that feels too uncomfortable. Don't tell me that. Don't bring that into my life. The fear zone is also where we have a lack of confidence. And the reason we have a lack of confidence is because we're not achieving anything that we can feel proud of. So we stay in the comfort zone because we're afraid of the fear zone. But if we could push through the fear zone, we would get to the learning zone. And the learning zone is where problem solving happens. The learning zone is where we are receptive to outside ideas. And the learning zone is where we acquire new skills. Now, you want to get into the learning zone. It's where you start to feel proud about yourself because it's like, I used to not could be able to do this, but now I can. I've learned a new skill. I've adopted something that I used to say was impossible. You want to get to the learning zone because when you get to the learning zone, you naturally then end up going to the growth zone. Now, when you're in the comfort zone, you don't do anything but stay in the comfort zone. But when you get in the learning zone, because you're moving forward, it naturally pushes you to the growth zone. And this is where you expand your vision. It's where you surpass milestones and where you define new goals. This is important for every area of your life, every area of your life, that literally your mind is trying to get you to the comfort zone. It's literally trying to get you to resist any type of resistance, and you want to continue to grow. It is the healthiest place for you, and this includes our spiritual lives. This is one of the reasons why at Next Level, we have a core value that says at Next Level, we take next steps. That is our core value. And the reason is because you can get comfortable doing even difficult things, that you can get comfortable with your faith, and you can say, well, I've been a Christian now for 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. I've been a Christian for a long time, and you become comfortable in your faith. But did you know there's always a next step? There's always a step you can take that will push you out of your comfort zone into the growth zone. If you're here today, I'll tell you some steps that I hear often from people at Next Level. One of the steps I hear often is that people are afraid to pray, specifically in groups. Instead of being afraid of that, why don't you turn that into your next step? Why don't you say, you know what my next step is? I'm not afraid of it. My next step is to pray in front of people. I'm going to learn how to do that. What if we made it a positive instead of a negative? Another next step that I hear people say, like some of us, we give financially because we grew up doing it or we've done it for a while and we're not afraid of it. But if it's new, it's a scary thing. So take a baby step, take that step. And instead of saying, oh, it's a bad thing and I'm scared of it, what if you put a positive spin on it and said, hey, you know what? My next step is to learn how to give to God. That's a great thing. How about this? Evangelism, telling people about your faith is a very scary thing. It's incredibly scary. We don't know how they're going to respond. What if they ask us a question we don't know? What if they think we're weird or some type of freak? But what if instead of letting fear rule that decision, we say, you know what my next step is? My next step is to become great at telling people about Jesus. I'm going to pursue that next step. I'm going to grow in that area of my faith. What if instead of being afraid and living in the comfort zone, we took steps? The number one reason that we don't finish strong is because we resist resistance. The number one reason in life. And today we're continuing our series entitled Finish Strong. And if you want to know why you won't finish strong in an area, it is because we resist resistance. And it's not your fault. Your brain is wired to resist resistance. It literally is. All of our brains are wired to resist resistance. We love uphill results with downhill effort. We do. We love, give me something easy. I want to have rock hard abs and eat everything that I want. That's how we want to live. But you don't get great things by living in the comfy chair. My wife and I, we are on week 3 now of a new diet lifestyle. It's not a diet. It's not a fad. It's a lifestyle. And we're doing really well. We're doing really well with it. But it's interesting to me that anytime we make a positive change, resistance comes out of nowhere. On the very first day of this plan, 3 weeks ago, my wife went to work and someone nice provided breakfast, Panera bagels, for everyone at her job. Panera bagels are not on the diet lifestyle. Like, and then her whole team went out to lunch to eat, and that was not a part of the plan, and she had to resist it. And then that night, the reason she had to resist the Panera breakfast and the lunch is because that night she already had a celebration that she had planned for. Someone wanted to treat her because she had accomplished a great thing. She'd gotten an award, and so they wanted to celebrate her. And so she had resistance coming all over the place, and she's like, why did this have to happen on day one of the diet? Why couldn't this happen yesterday when I was eating everything I wanted to? But anytime you make a positive life change, there's resistance. Like, maybe you can relate to this meme. Every time we try to eat healthy, along comes Christmas, Easter, summer, Friday, or Tuesday, and it ruins it for us. And it's true with any area of our life, any area of your life where there's been something on your brain, and you know what? And you say, you know what? Tomorrow, it's Monday. It's a fresh week, clean start. I'm going to start doing this. Once you make that decision to get out of your comfort zone, be prepared for resistance, because resistance will come. Some of you have been wanting to get on a budget for a long time, and then something comes. A brand new PlayStation comes out. Tires blow, and you have to get 4 new tires, or something breaks, or a medical bill, and like, there's always something that's hitting you. There's always a resistance to getting you where you ultimately want to be. And that's why our big idea for today is that you must decide that what you want is more important than the resistance which prevents you from achieving it. You've got to decide. If you want to get out of the comfort zone, if you want to get out of the comfy chair, you've got to decide that, you know what, ultimately what I want, ultimately what God wants for me is more important than the resistance which prevents me from achieving it. I want to show you why this is so important for our scripture. Our scripture today is written by Jesus' brother. His name is James, and I love James. He is a straight shooter. He's just straight to the point. He's very easy to understand. He's one of my favorite authors of the New Testament. I wish we had more letters from James. I would love to have heard more of the things that he said. But in James, we're going to see why it's so, so incredibly important to push through the resistance that we face in our lives. And at Next Level Church, we honor the text by standing to our feet. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to get out of the comfy chair and stand up. And I want to invite you to stand to your feet with me. And we're going to read our text for today. Our text is James 1:12. And at Next Level, we do something a little bit fun. When we see the two dots between the 1 and the 12, we pump our fists and say dot, dot. And it's just an important way for us to wake up and make sure that we're all on the same page. So if you want to do that, feel free to join us in that. Will you read it with me nice and loud? It says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." James 1, dot, dot, 12. Now that we've read the text, will you go to God in prayer with me? God, we come before you and we ask in Jesus' name that you would just speak to our hearts in a personal way. We ask that today, God, that you would help us to break free from the comfy chair, to break free from the comfort zone, that we would discover our next step, and that we would take a step towards that. And God, I ask you to give us the discipline to resist the resistance, to push through the resistance. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So we just read the text together. I want to spend some time breaking it down and explaining it. James says, "Blessed is the one who," and then there's a word that is underlined. Would you humor me and just read that word nice and loud on the count of three? One, two, three. Perseveres under trial. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. You need to understand that this is important, because anytime you go through any trial, you don't want to persevere from it. You want to escape from it. And so often the reason that we don't grow is when a trial comes in our life, instead of saying, I'm going to push through this, I'm going to walk through this, I'm going to become better by going through this trial, we say, this trial stinks, I'm going to go to something else. And we run to the comfy chair and we sit in the comfy chair, but instead of then learning how to get through the trial, we become lazy and we then adopt bad habits that end up not helping us push through trials. And James is really clear, blessed, that it's a blessing to persevere through the trial. Now this is incredibly important for us, because how our minds are wired. Our minds are literally wired for comfort. And did you know that our bodies are wired for comfort too? Like, this is what we're working with. If you decide to start an exercise program, You have a few weeks where that exercise program will get you results. But did you know that your body is so wired for comfort that eventually it will adapt to the new exercise program, and what once got you results will no longer get you results? And so you'll do an exercise program for 6 to 9 weeks and you'll see great results, and then all of a sudden you plateau and you stop getting results. That's messed up. And that's how we're wired, because literally your body is saying, I'm now comfortable with the hard work. It's no longer hard. What used to be hard is now easy. And in order to get new results, you've got to literally insert a new trial into your life. I had a trainer one time who told me how important it is to mix up your diet, that literally if you eat healthy all the time, eventually you'll plateau and you won't see results. And his plan was to eat healthy 6 days a week, and then one day a week you have a cheat meal. Now, this has become really famous from a former professional wrestler, now turned actor, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. I don't know if you've ever followed him on social media or know anything about him, but The Rock, on his cheat day, he consumes 15,000 to 20,000 calories. He eats healthy 6 days a week, and then one day has a cheat meal, and his cheat meals are legendary. On his pizza day, he eats 4 large pizzas by himself. But if you look at the dude, he's getting results. I've actually tried to do the opposite of him. I tried to eat unhealthy for 6 days and healthy for one meal to shock my system. And so if you want results like this, you can follow me on Instagram and I'll give you lots of fitness tips. But seriously, this is something that we've got to wrestle through, that literally when you try to do something good, when you try to challenge yourself, it's a challenge at first. It gets you out of the comfort zone, but eventually you get used to it. And what happens? You end up back in the comfort zone. And unless you introduce something into your life to break you out of the comfort zone, you will not see results. And so James says that we've got to persevere through trials. What if we changed our mindset when it came to trials in our life? What if instead of saying, woe is me, like no one likes a trial, no one enjoys it, but what if instead of saying, woe is me, what if we said, you know what, this is an opportunity for growth. I didn't want this trial, I didn't ask for this trial, but this difficult thing, if I can persevere through it, if I can keep walking with God, if I can keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, I can make it through this trial, and I will become a better person on the other side of it. I'll become better. I'll just change. Look at what James says, James 1:12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Why? Because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, our brains are wired so much for comfort that if we don't look for long-term success, if we don't focus on something else, we'll just quit. No one is disciplined enough to make it through every trial. Like, literally, we're fighting against ourselves to make it through trials. And so the way that you make it through a trial is you look at the end and you say, okay, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it to stick to this diet because I'm going to get those results. It's going to be worth it to stick to this budget because I'm going to get those results. It's going to be worth it spiritually to not give up because I'm going to get those results. And what are the end goals of sticking through a trial spiritually? Well, James says that we receive a crown of life. Did you know that there are rewards in heaven? I don't know if you grew up learning about this in church or not, but there are rewards. The word here is the word Stephanos. It's a Greek word that literally means, it means a laurel wreath. It's an award that was given to Greek athletes who competed in the Olympic Games. And I want to show you a picture. This is a picture of like the Greek Olympics. So when an athlete would compete and would win, the reward that it was coveted, it was something they looked forward to, was a wreath that they would place on top of their head. We have a more modern day picture of this in the 2004 Olympics. The winners in Athens, Greece, they got these same laurels. And you'll see Michael Phelps here, a famous Olympic athlete. He has the laurel wreath on his head. And when James says that when you persevere through the trial, you get a crown, this is something his audience would have known about. His audience would have said, oh my goodness, really? In the same way these amazing athletes push through the trial of the Olympic Games, when I push through this trial, I get a heavenly crown. I get a reward. I don't know if you know this or not, but there are actually 5 crowns mentioned in the New Testament. So it's not just one crown that you may get. You have a chance to win five different crowns. And I just want to quickly go over these in case you've never heard of them before. These are through our scriptures. The five heavenly crowns mentioned in the scriptures is, number one, is the imperishable crown. We see this in 1 Corinthians 9:25, and it's given to those who practice self-denial. So when you practice self-denial and you say, hey, I'm going to resist this temptation, I'm going to resist the thing that I know is not good for me, when you practice that on a regular basis and then you die, and as a Christian you go to heaven, there's a reward for you. Man, you did it. You didn't do it perfect every time. You failed a bunch, but you didn't give up. You didn't just say it's not worth it. You pushed through, and you did it for Jesus. Here's a crown. Number two, there's a crown of rejoicing. We see this in Philippians 4:1 and also in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. And it's given to those who share their faith. That when you share your faith with people, the reward, the ultimate reward, is that you get to tell someone about Jesus. And that hopefully they accept Jesus and believe. That's a great reward. That's a reward that literally the angels throw a party every time someone becomes a Christian. We should be excited about that. But in case you need more, you also can get a crown. Pretty cool. Number three, crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:8. It's given to those who long for Jesus' return and live a holy life because of it. Especially in the times where the Bible was written, they believed Jesus was coming back any second. And every day passed where Jesus didn't come back, they started to get a little bit defeated. Especially because they were going through severe trials. They literally were being persecuted and killed for their faith. And so the author of the scriptures say, listen, when you push through, when you long for Jesus' return, and you allow that to be your end goal, that you live for Jesus and not for yourself, there's a crown at the end when you die. Number four is the crown of glory. We see this in 1 Peter 5:4. This is given to pastors or elders or shepherds of the church. So I get one just for being a shepherd. Love that. Ba-dum-ching. Crown of glory. And I want to camp out here just for a second. And I want to make sure that every one of you hears what I'm about to say. I am incredibly thankful for Next Level Church and for the people at Next Level Church. We have people who genuinely care about pastors and staff at our church. And you guys do a really good job of encouraging and making sure that we know we're being prayed for. And so you guys do a great job. And I want to encourage you to continue doing that. I don't know why God made sure that they wrote about there's a crown for pastors, but did you know that not every pastor finishes strong? I don't know if you know this or not, but every single month, 250 pastors quit ministry. That leads to 3,000 pastors a year quit, and they do not finish strong, and they do not receive the crown. Now, some of them quit because they had fallen into sin, that they had sinned, and it caused them to have to step away. But a bunch of them are quitting because it's just hard. It's hard doing ministry. It's hard doing ministry when the only time your phone calls or your phone rings is because someone's world is falling apart. And then the very people that you helped, you see that they've changed churches and they didn't even tell you about it. The very people that you spent time pouring into, they just jumped ship because they didn't like one thing you said in your sermon. The very people that you literally cried with and helped fix their marriage jumped because there's a better pastor in town. It is incredibly difficult to be a pastor or a staff member. But I want to let you know that the reason that we do it is not for any praise or any attention. The reason ultimately we do it is to bring glory to God. And at the end of a pastor or a staff member's life, those who have served faithfully, there's a special crown. But can I just encourage you, keep doing the good things you're doing to encourage pastor and staff, please. If you ever think something nice about a staff member, just send them a message. I promise you their head's not going to get big because 12 other people decided to tear them down. And if you ever think something or want to do something nice, don't resist it. Don't think, oh, they probably don't need this. Like, just go ahead and do it because I promise you someone's not thinking twice about sharing criticism with a church staff member. And so you can help. No one does it for the encouragement, but you can help make sure that pastors and staff finish strong by supporting them. So the last one, though, that is mentioned, the last crown, number five, is the crown of life. And we see this in James 1:12. Also, we see it in Revelation 2:10. And it's given to those who persevere under trial. So anytime you go through a trial and you persevere, you don't resort to the comfy chair, you don't just run away from it, you don't ignore it. When you persevere and make it through it, you get the reward of feeling stronger, of growing. You get the reward of being better, but you also get a heavenly reward, that there is a crown for persevering under trial. So the one thing that we need to ask is, okay, well, how do we persevere through a trial? How do we actually do this? Well, thankfully, James is incredibly practical, and he tells us how to persevere under trial. Look at what James says, James 1, 2 through 3. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." So not just one trial, any kind. You face any type of trial, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Isn't this a different mindset to the way that we normally face trials? When we face trials, we say, woe is me. We say, God, why are you silent? We say, this is too tough. Why are you putting me through this? I want to just go to my comfy chair. But James says, no. Consider it pure joy. Now, I want to make sure that you hear this. We are not joyful for the actual trial. Christians are not masochists. We're not like, woo, pain, bring it on. Woo, I love this. What we do is we look past the trial and say, I'm joyful in the trial, because at the end of this trial, I'm going to have some perseverance. I'm going to have some endurance. I'm going to have some strength because I pushed through the trial. It's like, in case you just need a good sports quote, it's like what Vince Lombardi, famous football coach, said. He says, winners never quit and quitters never win. If you want to be a winner in life, it doesn't come from quitting when times get tough. You don't enjoy the pain. You don't enjoy the trial. You just don't quit. That's how winning is done. And that's how you finish strong. So look at what a trial can produce. James says in James 1:4, he says, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So when we go through the trial, we walk through the trial, we get perseverance. And on the other side of perseverance, we become more mature and we become complete and we lack nothing. I wish that every single Christian would write down this verse and think about it and pray about it. I wish Christians would get this tattooed on their body. This is an important verse. That perseverance, when it finishes its work, you become mature. Do you know why there's so many immature Christians? Because every time there's a trial, we go to the comfy chair. And as churches, we're so desperate to get people to come into the church that we try to accommodate everyone. We've lowered the bar so far. It's like, we don't want to challenge people too hard because then they'll leave. And now we've made it so easy that Christians are like, I'll go to church if I want to. Don't tell me how to live my life. Don't challenge me too much. I just want a fun little pep rally that motivates me. But the only way that we grow is to push through the trial. And when we push through the trial, we get perseverance. And what does perseverance give us? It gives us maturity. Maturity in our faith. Wouldn't you like to have a faith that when you go through a trial, you don't doubt the goodness of God? The only way you get to that type of faith is not giving up every time a trial comes your way. The only time you have that type of faith is persevering through the trial, and then you learn, okay, God was good with me through that trial. He'll be good to me through the next trial, and he's going to help me endure it, and he's going to help me persevere. And here's the problem. When we don't learn how to fix our problems, when we just escape to the comfy chair, what we find is that our problems just go with us wherever we go. And we try to escape the problems. Like, there's problems in every church you go to, every church in the world, there's going to be problems because people are in churches and people bring problems. But you know who I feel bad for? I feel bad for the people who don't get to see the rewards of sticking with a church. Our church just celebrated 9 years. And you know that there are people that when times got tough, they said, I'm out of here, and they jumped ship. And like, I understand, it's hard. It's hard work being a part of a church. It's just difficult. But I feel bad for them because they didn't get to see the reward of 9 years of successful ministry. But it's not just church, it's relationships. We're too quick to jump out of relationships. Every relationship is going to bring a trial. Every relationship. Every relationship is going to be tough. Every relationship is going to have times where you have to forgive and you have to show grace. Now, if you're in a relationship or you're at a church or you're at a job where there is abuse, I don't think you should endure through that. That's not a trial that you just push through. If someone is abusing you verbally or emotionally, you can walk away from that. I want to make sure we're clear on that. That's not what we're talking about. But way too many people walk away and there's no abuse happening. It's just a difficult time. It's just they don't agree about something or they don't like something. And so they just walk away. They leave it and they say, well, this new job will be different. But the new job's no different because you brought the problems with you and you didn't learn how to endure through the difficulty. Or the new relationship, you think, man, that relationship's tough. Let me cut ties with them. Let me find someone new. And then you bring the problems with you, and you never learn how to mature or grow in the problems because you just keep bringing them to every situation. But the way that we grow is we persevere through the problem, and we learn how to endure it, and we get some maturity to us, and we stick with things, and we don't just keep jumping to the comfy chair. So we endure it, and this is how we grow and become more mature. But here comes the insanely practical part. This is the part that I absolutely love. James tells us, how do we actually endure through a trial? Look at what he says, James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So what do we do when we go through a trial? James is clear. We ask God for wisdom. Have you ever done that? Like, that shouldn't be our third resort or fourth resort when we've tried a million things. That should be our first resort. That the way that we endure trials of any kind is we start with God. And we say, God, I don't like this trial. I don't like this pain. I don't know why it's here, but would you give me the wisdom to know, how do I endure this? How do I push through this? Would you give me the wisdom to know, do I need to walk away from this or do I endure? Do I stick through it? God, give me the wisdom. Who should I call to receive help during this trial? Who should I talk to? What can I do? God, give me the wisdom so that I don't miss out on the blessing of persevering through a trial. God, give me wisdom so I don't miss out on it. Because I want to be mature and not lack anything. That takes us again to our big idea. Just in case you forgot it, our big idea is you must decide that what you want is more important than the resistance which prevents you from achieving it. And so in any area of your life, there's going to be some comfy chair. And I don't know where it is for you today. I don't know if your comfy chair is with physical health or with mental, emotional health, or your comfy chair is with your finances, or maybe your comfy chair is with your spiritual life, that you've just got too comfortable and you haven't been taking next steps. I don't know where your comfy chair is, but can I just tell you that the trials of life come so that we can grow. Because if we didn't have trials, we would get too comfortable and we wouldn't mature and we wouldn't persevere. And so when a trial comes, just decide, just tell yourself, you know what? What I ultimately want is more important than giving up during this trial. What I ultimately want, I want to honor God with my life. I want to have healthy relationships. I want to not be the type of person that quits every time a difficult trial comes my way. So what I want is worth it to push through this trial. And that takes us to today's win. What is one area that you need wisdom in? What's an area that you just haven't pushed through the trial, that you, because of lack of discipline or lack of asking the right questions or not having coaching, what's an area where you're like, you know what, I just continually fail this trial. I haven't seen any perseverance. I haven't seen any progress. Would you make a reminder to pray every day this week for wisdom? Like, literally, would you just put it in your phone and when you wake up every morning, have a reminder that says, okay, God, I need wisdom in this area. Would you help me figure out why I'm stuck? Would you help me figure out why I'm resisting the resistance? Would you give me wisdom to know how I can improve? Would you give me the wisdom I need to make it through this trial? James says, when we ask and we believe, God gives us the wisdom that we need. Will you pray with me? God, we come before you and we just ask right now for that supernatural wisdom that only comes for you. In this room, there are a bunch of problems that haven't been spoken. There are a bunch of struggles that we've kept secret, that we've hidden in the dark. And I ask, God, that you right now would be speaking to our hearts and giving us wisdom. How do we fix these trials, God? What do we do? Who do we talk to? What do we read? What can we do, God? Give us the wisdom we need to persevere through the trials in our lives. And God, I ask that you would help us to be people who push out of our comfort zone by continually taking next steps of faith. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to hear more, please visit our website at nextlevelchurch.net. You can also follow us on social media at Next Level 757. Join us next time.